Hey, Sun Leaders, it's me, Liam, again, your health insurance guru for businesses. As a reminder, we are going and interviewing local leaders about entrepreneurship. And as always, if anyone has anything they'd love to hear more about, you're more than welcome to DM me on my Instagram. It's at Transparent Benefit Solutions. Today, we are interviewing the Eric Nutting. sir, go ahead and explain kind of what you do. I know you have the growth coach and the founder of the Sage Approach.
It's true.
I know it is.
Yes. That's what I am. That's what I do. People always go, okay, well, what do you do? You know, when you meet somebody in public, particularly in these business circles, what do you do? And I say, man, I don't want to be known for that. I want to be known as a father of five, a husband, yada, yada, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But business side of things, I own a company called The Growth Coach of St. Petersburg, Florida. We work on personal growth, business growth, and group growth, right? And what does that mean? It means whatever it means to that person who's trying to move in a specific direction. So I call myself very much a generalist. I don't try to create problems to solve with a template. I try to listen to the person across from me, find out what their problems are, and then we roll up our sleeves and get to work.
So for the record, I never said that you couldn't talk about Diane and your kids. You made that assumption.
Well, I wanted to make sure I differentiated between, you know, we're always identified with, oh, that's the broker. Oh, that's the whatever. Oh, that's the whatever. And I've been so many things in my life that I don't really want to be cornered into one thing.
What have you been, sir?
I started out as a performer and an actor. I was what I call a wink and woo cowboy at Disney because we didn't get to be a tough, rugged cowboy. You're just a wink and woo cowboy. Hey.
You know, Diane just told me that the other day, too, at the networking event.
Really?
Yep. And I was like, no way. And she goes, yep, he used to work for Disney. I was like, that's so cool.
That was a lifelong dream because it had such an impact on me with my family vacation when I was before the age of 12. I remember my parents took my sister on a Disney vacation and I was left behind.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, what the heck is going on? And I was probably five or I don't know how old I was. I was probably at the right age to be a pain in the rump to my family, which is why they left me behind. And I was a peaceful kid. But anyway, ever since that time, and then we lived in Seattle. So that was a natural drive. You drive down to Anaheim and you go and you enjoy Disney. And back then it was way more affordable than it is now, even in context of where the economy is. So that was a normal vacation for us. We'd go to Oregon Caves and then go down to Disney. And so ever since then, it's like, oh my gosh, I love this. I got to do this. And I remember being there and watching the stage come up. And I thought these performers were really good. And there's this place called the Golden Horseshoe Review. So it was pretty cool to be able to be a contracted performer at the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review in Florida 30 years later. I thought, okay, one goal accomplished. But that ran its course. And then what happened after that? I became a certified residential appraiser. Somebody said, hey, this would go well with acting. Why don't you do this? And I said, okay, super duper. But then 9/11 happened. And I wasn't confident that would move forward for me and be able to support my family because we had five kids at that point. And then I started my car sales career on 9/12. And hit the lot, and I really grew up. I was in my 30s at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I understood what life was until I had to hustle and sell cars on a car lot with a bunch of other people who were like, ugh, you know? And then from there, I went back to more of an artistic life and did some voiceovers. I started a voiceover company. So I still do some audiobooks and do some things that entertain me. And then the constant through all of this has been my want and need to help people on the human journey. And I think that's what I was doing as an actor. I was learning about human conditions and life and that sort of thing. So then this coaching was a natural fit. I took my first client maybe like 20 years ago. And this brand, The Growth Coach, is a new brand for me. And I'm just entering my third year with that. And then the Sage Approach is something that I just created and we'll grow with that here moving forward. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
So have you always then, I assume, identified as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, because I can only handle a corporate setting for maybe 3 years at a time. And I always tell people, And I was this way at the theme park and everything. It's like, well, if you don't like it, go start your own theme park. If you don't like it, go start your own company. But until that point, we can try to create positive change within our environment. But if all you're going to do is walk through the doors and complain all the time, then you need to rethink things. And I always look at rules as vague suggestions, just ideas. Mm-hmm. And so I like to create my own rules, but I also like to think that I have some form of common sense. And I think everybody wants to think that, but maybe some people have.
Common sense isn't very common.
You know, I this gets back to a conversation you and I had this morning.
My therapy session. Stay tuned for that one up in May. That one will be releasing in May.
So this is our second conversation today. But this, I'm really big in, I have four pillars that I coach on. I'm really big in this process of do no harm. So I always want to be mindful of, is that which I'm creating going to be harmful to someone else? And I can't remember what dots I was trying to connect on that, whatever we were just talking about. But, if I'm always walking into an environment and complaining, who am I harming in that process? I'd rather be a unit of positive energy affecting people in a positive way. And so I try to put myself in spaces that allow me to do that.
So what made you go with this whole, like, what was the turning point for you going about your business being more holistic? Because there's, you know, growth coaches, because you do both business and personal and stuff. You know, there's coaches out there that are very just profit-driven, ROI, you know, things like that. And you and I have had very a lot of conversations about me and being an entrepreneur with insurance and things like that. And you're always just so very, you know, is that going to be good for this? Or how can we move forward? And you're just very, like, you make people think. So what kind of was that pivot point, if there was one, that made you kind of more holistic than one of these people that are just like attack dogs for finances?
I think when you experience loss, as we all do sooner or later on this human journey, it gives you an opportunity to look at life either the same way you were looking at it pre-loss or to adjust your mindset post-loss. So, five kids, super. Two sets of twins. Rachel and Elena, and Brett and Rebecca. Then we have two other kids. We lost Elena at birth. Once I realized the fragility of life, and I had had some other losses prior to that, but that was the one where I felt I was in control of the world. You know, I could conquer anything. I was going to climb mountains. And then once that happened, I had to realize, hey, man, you're not in control of anything. That really helped me refocus things. The world no longer revolved around me. I had to accept that my job was to integrate into the world. And even beyond that, my job was now to be a good husband and a good father and make sure that my wife could heal and my family could grow, as opposed to just worrying about my loss. I had already been kind of mindful of it, but that really helped bring it home. So I was adopted. I lived in a house full of lovely human beings. The parents who adopted me are my parents. They're my parents. They've passed now. But they were hoarders, and I always kind of lived like a lonely sort of life. So I was always contemplative and would sit in a quiet room and just stare at walls. Or, you know, back we had 1970s popcorn ceilings. I'd count the sparkles on the ceiling, that sort of thing. I'd go out to recess by myself and dig holes, wondering if I could dig all the way through the earth. That's the sort of kid I was, and I think I finally kind of found it once I got into my adult life and had to deal with some of this loss and stuff. I truly do believe in a whole human being in this human journey, mind, body, spirit. And I think there's a mind, body, and spirit to business. So it's pretty easy for me to connect those two things. And I think that this idea of balance is a bunch of hocus pocus. I don't think balance exists. Balance is temporary. Unless I was born with one leg and I have extreme balance and my core rocks, which it does not. We can't stand on one leg forever. We can't tread water forever. It just doesn't. But I do believe in alignment. So I think for us to be in alignment with our human existence and our family and our businesses or our career, doesn't even have to be a business. I think we have to be aligned with our values and our purpose so we can move forward and not always create conflict and friction for us. So that's a long, long answer to a very simple question, but...
No, I like it. I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I just saw Rachel yesterday. She's 25 now. So it's 25 years ago. But you and I were talking about this earlier. I said, I don't want people to be defined by a single moment. I want us to pull it forward and let it be part of our story. And for us to honor Elena, we have to really make her living, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
She's a living part of our life, even though I just held her for a brief moment. So, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. But, you know, it's interesting. Yeah.
What's interesting, and this is kind of going off topic, is through these podcasts, these Sunlaters podcasts, like, I found that out about you. I listened to the one that you and Dan did, and I found out that it was funny. I said the other day, I told him, I was like, I didn't know you were engaged. And he's like, yeah, you asshole, duh. And I was like, no, and back in the day, like, I listened to your podcast with Eric, like, just so many things are coming out, you know, that I don't want to say they wouldn't normally come out, but I just, like, I don't think you and I would have ever in the near future had a conversation where that kind of just came out casually, you know
Probably
what I mean?
Probably not deliberately, right?
Yeah.
It would have to be where we have maybe a focused conversation leading us to wherever we think we're going.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just... I'm just learning so much about everybody, and that's just, like, I don't know. I just sit back on that. Like, that's just very cool. I just like learning about people in general.
Yeah.
So it's just very interesting how much everybody is willing to share. I mean, hello, my own personal therapy session. Stay tuned for that one, guys. No, that's really awesome. So I brought you on here because you, to me, are kind of that overall... knows a little bit about everything type of guy. So I kind of wanted to talk to you and for the listeners as well on business tips, mm-hmm. just generic business tips, right? So like tips for new owners, do's and don'ts that you haven't seen, and then obviously tying that into family and alignment for, you know, because I know you don't like balance.
Right. So first and foremost, I want us to think about our placement in where we have been and what we're trying to create. We're trying to create a business.
Mm.
No person stands alone. We're not, you know, I'm a self-made man. Really? Super. So like two people need to get together through love or passion and create you? Well, no, you're not really self-made there. And was somebody didn't have to feed you and clean you up when you were a baby in diapers? You're not self-made. We operate in a much larger world than that. So once we can get past our ego, then I ask people to put a team together. What's a good team look like for you to accomplish what you need to accomplish? What are you great at? Write it down. What are you trying to accomplish? Where do you want your business to go? What service are you providing? Is there a need for it, a want for it in the market? And if there isn't, can you create it? Then where are your weaknesses? What do you not know? And who can help you with that? Who's got your back? I love working with couples in business. Once we make that decision, the business becomes another entity. It becomes a living, breathing entity. It's a baby. It needs your attention. It will take as much attention as you can give it. And so how do we protect our intimate relationships from that never-ending, crying little thing in the other room that says, hey, you're not doing enough. Hey, pay attention to me. Hey, I'm going to fail. You know what I mean?
Hey, you have 200 unread emails.
All that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So who do we need? What do we need on our team to move us forward?
And by team, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But define your team.
So for me, this growth coach thing, while I was doing this alone, the growth coach is actually a franchise. I've got a team of 65 other coaches mm-hmm. that rock, that are all different than me. Mm-hmm. They all have their expertise. We coach through similar pillars on the business side of things, but at any time I can pick up the phone and call somebody. I pick the growth coach specifically because they have a more holistic approach, you know, better life, better balance, better business. Balance, there's that word.
Better alignment.
Yeah, but a more holistic approach to things. If you're happy, we can run a thriving business. If your business is working, you can be happy, that sort of thing. So that's part of my team. Then we need to let people know that we exist in business. Visibility, credibility, endorsement, or visibility, credibility, profit, whatever way you want to look at it. I need the people to know I exist. They become my team. Then we have ambassadors, you know, people who champion you, who've put wind in your sails. You go, oh my gosh, you got to meet Liam. Liam's going to be great for you. He's got the solution to what you need. You know, that's what we're always doing. That's why we network. So that's part of your team. Then where am I going to struggle? Am I good with organization? Am I good with accounting? Do I need legal advice? Do I even know how to structure my company? If I don't, I can hit Google and I can do as much as I can. But sooner or later, that game runs out. I need people put in place to do it. There's, you know, the solopreneurship now, which is so huge. And there's so many systems that we can put in place that help us. But when we reach capacity and we can't grow anymore, then we really are hitting a limit. We've got to start making decisions. Am I running a lifestyle business? Or are there things I can put in place to help me grow beyond this? Either answer, however you answer that question is fine, but we have to be mindful of the world we created for ourselves. So self-acceptance and self-responsibility are two huge cores that I teach on.
There's that self-acceptance again.
It's huge because I can't blame you for where I'm at in life.
Yeah.
So there's part of this thing where I get to take a little bit of credit for where I am, even though I didn't do it alone. But, you know, I have to have some pride, but then you have to allow yourself some grace. But then we also have to say, hey, listen, so-and-so didn't keep me from achieving something. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's not the customer who didn't choose me, right?
Accountability for everything.
Absolutely. And then just, you know, just accepting that you were only in control of so much. I was just having this great conversation with Mike downstairs. And he is such a remarkable unit of positive energy. He's so awesome in that way.
I don't think I've ever seen him not smile.
Oh, and my gosh. Yeah.
Like ever.
We were talking, he's a mortgage broker, right? He owns a mortgage firm. And I told him, what I like about you is I know you're going to be here in 5 years. I know you're going to be here in 10 years. I know you're going to be here in 20 years. This is what you do. This is what you love. You don't come and go with the market. You're going to be steady and you're going to serve the people that you want to serve. So connecting that sort of passion and alignment and purpose is huge as we think about business. If we're just in it for a buck, it's going to be hard to sustain and maintain, you know?
100%. 100%.
Can you remember a question you asked? But hopefully I got it in there somewhere.
I was asking you, you know, I don't know.
What's a team look like?
Yeah. I mean, but I was going back to the original question of just, you know, tips, tricks, and things for new entrepreneurs. Just because I view you as, like I said, like, you know, a little bit about everything.
That's age.
No, but you know more than that, you know.
I'm 70. As I get closer to that, I probably shouldn't make fun of that either. I've met some pretty freaking robust 82-year-old people who can probably walk circles around me.
I was on Facebook today. It's totally sidetrack. Mm-hmm. But I was on Facebook today, and somebody was looking for a caretaker for their, I believe it was their mom and dad or something like that. And she was 98, and he was 96, World War II vet, I think I read. Taking care of her because she had really bad dementia.
Wow.
Can you imagine being like 2 and 4 years away from being 100 years old?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And she like posted a picture and they look cute as hell. Like they're just, you know, like the cute old people that you're just like.
That's a lovely thought. That's a very romantic idea of where we would like to be.
Yeah.
I've always said until recently, I said, man, I think I got 109 years in me. But as I get, you know, I'm 57 now, as I get a little bit older, some things are maybe not doing what they used to do. Knees, back, hip, all that stuff. Then I think,
I'm 26 and they don't do what they need to do.
Well, but I also learned today through our earlier conversation that you were throwing your body all over the place, breaking bones everywhere.
I was doing normal kid things, breaking lots of bones, yes.
Yeah.
Well, minus the motorcycle accident. However, right. That was...
Do you still ride?
Yeah, I still ride.
What do you got?
I got a Kawasaki Ninja.
Nice. I never see you on it.
Well, that's because it's been in the shop since November.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the thing. I've been riding for, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, maybe about 30 years now. Maybe not quite.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing. I am mechanically inept.
Yeah, no. I know my car takes an engine and gas to go and four wheels, and that's about it. Like, yeah. I went over a speed bump the other day, and Dad, if you're listening later on, this didn't happen. This was totally made up story. I went over a pretty steep speed bump at a little bit higher rate of speed. Not like I was going like 70, but like, you know, the speed limit's like 10 or 15. I was going like 20 or 25, something right. like that. And the speed bump, it was a little bit more steep than it actually looked. So it scraped like the bottom of my car or I hit the bottom of the car. Something happened and it went from drive to neutral. And I texted all my friends. I'm like, what does this mean? I only know like that it takes gas, and they're like, you don't know what's on the bottom of your car. And I'm like, I know there's a transmission, but I don't know where it is. Like, is my car fine? So needless to say, it's fine. But
Dad, everything's fine.
Everything's fine, Dad.
Hey there, I'm Joy Rose, the founder of the Museum of Motherhood. We are aiming to be Florida's top women's museum, if not their only women's museum, with a focus on women, mothers, and families. We invite you to join us during our hours, and please see more about Mom on our website, www.mommuseum.org. First, fabulous, and local. Please join us soon.
Yeah, no, I get it. And it's really frustrating in my relationship because Diane is more mechanically inclined than I am. And she's just better at some of these things. So I kind of like wander around trying to be all manly. And then I ultimately just get in the way.
What is manly?
Manly is like,
I'm going to go Eric Nutting on you.
That
and
preconceived
ask.
Idea of, you know, I'm the patriarch of the family and I've got this and the rules end here and you will not, you will obey me. Everyone must obey me. That's the, you know, because I grew up in the 60s and 70s when you come out of the 1950s with the Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet sort of thought process. Then we get into this kind of 60s and 70s. You know, process of trying to find what that freedom is through conflict. And then the 80s is a reset. So all that stuff, and that's how we defined ourselves. Like, then
you know, the 80s were the best time for me.
Really?
Yeah, they were.
Why?
I'm being sarcastic. Oh. It wasn't even a thought.
It wasn't even a thought in the 80s, man. I think I graduated high school in 1985. So
I graduated in 2015.
Well, that's good. We both made it. I don't know what we made it to, but we both.
Yeah, when you figure out what we made it to, please let us all know.
We made it to today. So this
far.
Is what's interesting. When we talk about human beings, now we say, listen, we can't value one human life. Like those questions like, oh, you got six people on an island and you can only pick three. Who are you going to kill? It's like all life forms or all human beings are equal in value, right? So when we're in the same space together, we're here. We arrived. However we got here, I don't know. I'm excited to figure it out and find out. That's why I like talking to people so much. But regardless of our age or whatever, we're in the same space at the same time.
I have some pretty like the world is small stories that could go on. You would like them.
Really?
Yeah. Like my first ever girlfriend, her dad and my mom went to high school together. Or no, I'm sorry, went to college together. Her mom and my mom went to high school together.
Crazy.
Nobody knew each other.
That's so weird. Where did you grow up?
I grew up Newport Richey, Trinity area.
Okay.
Partially Hudson for a little bit.
All right.
So, yeah.
Are you a Floridian forever?
Natural.
But you're here to stay.
Debatable. Growing up, I was always ready to get out as fast as I can. But I will say the past about 2 years, ever since I took this job and I'm doing more business and hanging out over in St. Pete more, I could be here to stay.
Yeah. Do you need to travel?
I mean, I enjoy traveling.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, you know, a nomad or anything like that.
There are definitely things I want to see. I don't know if I'll see them. Like, I would love to get to Italy.
I went to Europe. I went to England and I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
I would
move over there in a heartbeat.
What time of year did you go?
So I flew out on my birthday, so mid-June to mid-July.
Okay, so it wasn't cloudy and rainy?
No, it was hot. Everybody saw us because, you know, I studied abroad, so we had a big group of Americans, and everybody's like, you all brought the heat with you, and over in England, they don't have air conditioning.
Oh, they
don't? So that
don't?
Was, no.
Oh.
Only the richest of the rich.
See, look at this. You just gave me credit for knowing a little bit of everything. I have no idea what life outside this country is like.
Really?
I've only been to Canada. That's it.
Well, I mean, that's outside of this country.
Yeah, but it was barely, I barely stepped foot over the border. We were managing a movie theater, a haunted movie theater in Bellingham, Washington, the Mount Baker Theater, which still stands. And we would just drive up across the border. And it was a different, a little bit different than what the U.S. was. We went to B.C., Vancouver.
Hey, that's where I went when I went.
I love it. It's a cool city.
We flew into Vancouver, but we took a two-hour bus ride north to Whistler.
Okay.
So we stayed at
yes,
Whistler.
Yes, right.
And I mean, I was a kid, and I remember, like, I was like, my dad won a trip. So I was like six, eight years old. And I remember learning for the first time that there were other nationalities. So, like, French Canadian. I was like, what's French Canadian? And I was like, oh, it means they have a king, not a president. And I was like, I was terrified before we flew out. I was like, does that mean the king is going to make us do stuff?
Yes, off do with we their
not
heads.
Do we not have freedom there? I was so scared. Come to find out, I should be scared that I'm here instead.
That's so funny. Just to come entertain me.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I feel like we totally sidetracked on that.
We did a little bit, but that's fine because, I don't remember where the conversation was headed, but we're talking about travel. Oh, talking about further, you know, I've been
businesses.
Here like 30 years. Oh yeah, businesses, that boring stuff. Yeah, we can talk about that.
Like,
what do you want to talk about business?
Seven conversations ago. What would you say is a big do and a big don't that you see people do and don't do? How many times can I say that fast?
So the big challenge I see so many people have is trying to do too much. And we're just talking entrepreneurs now, trying to do too much on their own, which gets back to that idea of teamwork. Just admit you need help. It's so much easier. Now, for some people, depending on where they're at in business and where the market's at, they might not be able to afford help, and I appreciate that. I respect that.
Well, but not only that, there's ways to get help without having, like, for example, I just went into partnership with my best friend, Aubrey. I am the face of the operation. She is emails and organization and
nice.
Everything else because I suck at everything else. I can sell you a cancer policy like that. Emails? Mm-mm, no, thank you. That's hers.
So you are a poster child of exactly what I'm talking about. You said, hey, you're strong here. I'm strong here. Let's do this. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The more we can do that, I definitely thrive with collaboration. So I run this coaching model and I really enjoy working one-to-one because I feel we get a safe space to do some really good work. But then I also run a group coaching model, and to have these really smart minds with different backgrounds all working on the same problems is stuff I can't do on my own, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's a pretty cool thing. Collaboration is huge for me. I'm at my best when I get to collaborate. And really, that's what the coaching process is, because I'm not a consultant. I'm not telling you what to do. You and I get to collaborate on a problem. If I ask the right questions, you find the right solution.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's important to, like, when you collaborate, people, very similar to what you just said, right? You're not a consultant. You don't tell people what you do, but if somebody says something, it's going to spark another idea or another question, or it's going to take that conversation down a totally different path.
For sure.
As opposed to if it's a not as nice collaborative environment, whoever it is going to tell you X, Y, and Z instead of having you come to that conclusion.
Right.
So.
And then when we sit together and maybe you present a problem that I don't have an idea on, and I don't even know what questions to ask, but now we've at least identified something we need to work on. We get to go out separately, have a task list to do and start to research it, make calls, find the right people to help us with it. So that's the exciting part of the process. Just always problem solving.
I feel like that's just life in general.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, which is why I'm also a life coach and a business coach, right? And I always tell everybody, I say, hey, listen, I'm not really a traditional business coach. And people go, Eric, what's the biggest problem in business? I go, people. Every business problem I've ever encountered is a person problem.
Valid.
Yeah. So we talked about entrepreneurship, and now the challenge in larger businesses that I work with, where you don't necessarily have an entrepreneur running things, that's making a team work together. So we have, you know, our own individual personal dysfunctions. I got them, you got them, everybody's got them. Now we bring our dysfunctions to the party with 8 other coworkers, and we're all tripping over each other. And we start to look through this lens of jealousy and judgment and frustration and value and all that stuff. How can we eliminate as much of that as possible? How can we make our dysfunctions flow in the same direction, make those waters flow? Less of me, more of you. We're always wondering how we can do that. And that gets us to tie into mission, what we're trying to do within the business. And it comes with strong leadership that says, hey, listen, you guys are in a safe space. We can make this work. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Let's get on the same page. So those are things I work on with people.
It's very interesting to hear your perspective on things because you have, it's like an ever-flowing knowledge. Like we start on one thing and then like bluntly, but I mean in the most respectfully way, but you just don't shut up. And it's just like constant.
You know what's funny?
But I mean that in like the most like.
I don't talk that much when I'm in a coaching session. I ask a few questions and that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do. It's really weird at this point in my life for you to ask me questions like, oh, I've been talking a while, haven't I?
But it's not bad at all. Like it just sparks those things where we went from entrepreneurship to living here and now to country travel. And, you know, it's just funny. It's just because.
But this is why I love what I do, just because we can just have a conversation, you know, we can connect. And when we can do that on a human level, we can really make great things happen. Because you and I were talking, did we have this conversation earlier? What is our responsibility within the community? Did we have that conversation?
I believe we did on your podcast.
Yeah, I think so. And that's really what I want us to think about. Not necessarily today in this conversation, but just on a human level. What are we responsible for? What is this human journey all about? Is it so we can die and go meet our maker? Is that what the human journey is about? If that's your perspective, I can get behind that. And this is what I tell people that I work with. My belief system really isn't that important. It's hugely important to me.
Yeah.
But your belief system is hugely important when we work together because I need your belief system to serve you. If it doesn't, we either have to double down on that belief or we got to change the lens on our belief system.
So what do you say to folks that are trying to be an entrepreneur, have a successful business, do X, Y, and Z, and they don't know their belief system?
We got to think about it. We got to figure out why we're here.
And by belief system, I assume that we mean God, universe, morals.
I do think so.
All that.
And I honestly just do not care what somebody believes in, as long as it's through that lens of, I'm not going to do deliberate harm to another soul. That's important to me.
Yeah.
Once we can agree on that, then we can just do some really good work. Even if you say, man, I don't know what I believe in. It's worth exploring because when we get to the end of ourself, who do we rely on? I love speaking with atheists and they go, I'm so blessed. I'm going, cool. Well, so who are you blessed by? Who just did that for you?
That's always cracks me up that atheists will say that. And it's like, okay. Or like when people sneeze and just... I mean, obviously, it's a common reaction because we're all used to saying it. But, you know, when people say bless you, it's like, do you really realize what you're saying?
Right.
Or are you just saying it because it's now a societal norm?
And to be clear to the listeners, this is not even a knock on atheism.
No, not at all.
I just want the person across from me to give it some thought so they can live their best possible life on this human journey.
Yeah.
So if atheism, this concept of it, is going to serve you and is not going to create harm for someone else, let's invest in that.
Do you have any tips or tricks on those folks out there trying to figure out their moral system, on how to figure it out, on how to find it?
Yes, forgive yourself. We carry around so much guilt in this world.
I'm asking generic questions and you're looking me dead in the eye, sir.
We carry around so much guilt and then we carry that over into our new family. Then we parent through guilt.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so disappointed in you. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Do you know how hard your father worked for this? Or whatever the case may be.
Total side note, but Jordan, Josh should really maybe invest in having these as videoed things because I feel like the listeners would have loved what Eric just did with his little attitude and his face.
But guilt's such a huge part of us. And I ask people when we work together to get rid of some of the words. I don't like guilt to be in our conversations. I don't like fail to be in our conversations. There's another word that I don't like that escapes me right now. But when it comes up in a conversation, oh, yeah, we had that conversation today. I would rather us get into a healthy space of acceptance.
As opposed to tolerate.
And that's really true in an intimate family, but then it's true in your workspace either, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to have differences. If we can embrace those differences, we can go thrive, right? I was going to say something else, but we can really thrive.
Yep.
I swore the other day in a conversation with you, I think we were on the phone, and you go, oh my gosh, I've never heard you swear before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I almost did just hear, but I try to be mindful of it. Listeners, I was going to say kick ass. That's what I was going to say. But,
not even that big of a...
It's not that bad.
You're talking to me, okay? Like, I think every podcast I've been in has at least said... I've said fuck at least once.
Oh, he said the F word. That's one of the two F words that I never have said in my life.
Liar, you said it on the phone.
Ouch. Okay. All right, I stand corrected.
I was like, wait a minute. Am I really this far out
okay,
of it?
Yeah, I'm like, wait. So listeners, I'm not a liar, but I did say that word once in the last week.
No, Eric's not a liar. He's like one of the best guys out there. So what is an exercise that you could maybe suggest for those people trying to find their path, their way of life, their way of being an entrepreneur or business owner?
This is why I kind of enjoy what I do, because I'm not reinventing a wheel. It's all been spoken by wiser people than me, men and women. But I always say it's the voice and the timing that might resonate with a human being that can move us forward. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, for sure, right? There's so many brilliant resources and books and people. I always like to, and I'll get to the question, I always like to talk to Josh, you know, who, Josh Naiman, who produces his show through Naiman Creative with the help of Jordan right next to us here. But I say, man, all the amazing people we meet in a week, can you imagine all the amazing people we haven't met? Oh my gosh. But to your point, my advice is, and I think it's not an exercise I created, but I like you to write an autobiography of your life in 5-year increments. So for some of us, our book's a little bit longer. But I'd like to find those commonalities within those 5-year increments. So I did it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a book called Solo Flight. It's a series of 3 books where it talks about human energy. So Solo Flight is defining your own energy. And then there's Power of Two, sharing energy with another human being. And then there's Strength in Numbers, which is where we all come together and create something good. And so those are a series of books I'm working on. But if we write our autobiography in 5-year increments, the thought process is, where do we find those commonalities? For me, I was at a point in my life where I was going, oh, the world is so rough and oh, boo-hoo. And so I started this process. And it's like, okay, the first 5 years, this happened. But the constant was my mother and father loved me. And to be clear, I was bitching about my mother and father at the time of this boo-hoo moment I was having.
Mm-hmm.
Ages 5 to 10, write a little stuff, whatever was good, discovered sports, saw girls, mom and dad loved me. 10 to 15, whatever. The constant in my life was my mom and dad loved me. Sometimes they loved me too hard, whatever the case may be, but that was the constant. Once I realized that, well, I could get rid of all the noise, the BS I was telling myself. You know, whatever little speed bump or conflict we had, I had to take ownership of my side of it. And I had to make a decision. Was I going to continue it and carry it forward or let it go? The healthier decision was to let it go. So through that process, writing your autobiography in 5 years, what are the commonalities? What dreams were constant through those stories? And then I ask people when I work with them, yes, good and bad exist, right and wrong exist, fine, super, whatever. But for our work together, I want us to think about healthy and unhealthy. Is it healthy for me to continuously blame my parents for where I'm at right now? No. And I've never had anybody sit across from me not be able to define for themselves what is healthy and what is unhealthy. Sometimes they have just a little blip and they go, no, probably not. Right?
Yeah.
If we're going to be in a space and be honest with ourselves, we just don't slow down enough to do it. So hopefully that answered your question, but that would be my suggestion.
I've never, as you were explaining it, I was just sitting here thinking of like what would be in my autobiography of every 5 years.
Any ideas?
We already had my therapy session this morning.
But the thought process on that is just get it all out. Everything you can remember. Because when we break it down, because you don't have to do it all at once. We can do this over the course of a few weeks, few months. But we only have so many memories that we can recall.
Yeah.
Those things that cause us pain or those things that bring us joy, those are the things we remember and carry with us, right? When we close our eyes, we see them as snapshots. So if we really focus on it, then we can get that out there. And then we can really find that constant. And we can either heal or thrive or communicate or help or whatever we need to do moving forward.
That's really cool. So my last thing is everybody that's been on the podcast, I've been asking them to either give their either favorite book, motivation, whether it be family, friends, etc., quote, or podcast. You can just pick one. That you like, that you found a lot of value in, that would help entrepreneurs.
Oh, that would help entrepreneurs. Okay, gotcha.
Or that you felt has helped you on your journey.
Trial and error has helped me on my journey for sure. And then admitting that I don't know what I don't know. So that's not necessarily a resource for the people to use. I'd like to find a resource for everybody. You just got to keep learning. You just got to keep learning and be hungry for knowledge and be hungry to connect with human beings. This is this tricky new business model we have where we sit behind a keyboard and a screen and try to connect with people that way. We have to make a decision to connect with human life.
But you have found a way into creatively connect with those people. When they email you, you email them the podcast.
I do.
Yeah. Talk about that real quick, because I think that's so interesting.
I have this weird business practice of responding to every single person who contacts me. And I know if it's a sales thing right off, and I'm starting to see the patterns when I once upon a time didn't recognize it. But I do think everybody's a value. Everybody's hustling, trying to make a dollar, so I appreciate their efforts. So I say, awesome, great, I'm doing fine, however long it takes them to get to their pitch, whatever. And now I've started this new thing where in the business I'm at, I'm targeted by a lot of appointment setters and other coaches wanting to help coaches because we're an easy target. Eric, you want to level up?
Yeah.
And I'll say things like, hey, great, love the work you're doing, great energy, super duper. I'm not making time for discovery calls right now. And then I drop my podcast link. And then if they blow over it or blow past it and just keep hounding me for it, I just continue the conversation until they get tired of me, right? But then if they say, can you book this appointment? I go, did you listen to the podcast? And they go, yeah, I love it. Okay, reference something for me. Tell me something you love about it. And when they do, then I'll go ahead and grant them the time. I'll give them their half hour or whatever. I'll give them their chance to pitch. Because they invested in me, I'll invest in them.
That's just so creative, and I've been trying to find a way in which I could do that. Because I, right now, am the one doing
the cold emails, DMs, whatever.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I've been trying to figure out how I could reverse it.
Well, for you, I would specifically take these podcasts, which aren't necessarily industry-specific for you, but is part of your marketing plan. And I would find groups where you're targeting them, places where you want to have a conversation, and just post the link. And then when people interact with you, have that conversation. You know, who do we need to reach? Who is your target market? What does that avatar look like? And let's just be really proactive on that process and drop that link, have that conversation. And then we have to support others in that process. You have got to be able to go in there and say, hey, I listened to this. That's outstanding. Love it. And then for you specifically, what is a power team? What's that power team look like? What's a great partnership? Who are your best referral partners? And then we got to have that core group together and run that core group.
100%. Well, I think, did you have anything else that you wanted to say or mention?
No.
No? All good? I appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks. It was awesome.
I always learn at least one thing from talking to you.
I didn't think I was going to have this much energy because I'm like jacked up right now.
You have been feisty since this morning.
I have been. That's what happens when you get your, see if I hit my 10,000 steps yet. I got one of those little, no, 9,084.
So you've
But I got the energy going,
yeah.
Right? rather than just drinking the coffee that Jordan told me is killing me slowly, one cup at a time.
That's okay. I drink at least one Celsius a day.
You were the Celsius. Yes, yeah. You're an energy drink person.
Yeah, I am.
I've got three decades on you. By the time you get into your 40s, you're going to go, I need to make some healthier choices. But right now, you know, we do what we have to do. We grind it out. We grow things, don't we?
We are on the grind.
Yeah, I feel you. I know. I get it.
Well, again, I appreciate your time, sir. And guys, it is a good day to have a good day.